All right, let's take our Bibles this evening and turn to the book of the Psalms. And I want you to turn to Psalm 73 for the message tonight. Psalm 73. Psalm 73. I want to read a few verses, a couple of select verses here. I'm not going to read the entire psalm, although it might help us if I did. But anyway, let's begin, please, in verse 1, and then we'll read just a few verses going down the psalm. Beginning in verse 1, this is a, you'll notice in the subheading of this, it says that it is a psalm of Asaph. Asaph. Now, Asaph was David's choir director. All right, he was the choir director for David. He directed the choir in the temple or in the tabernacle, and when they would have their worship days and their high days and all that, they would sing, and Asaph was the director for him. And he was according to what the rabbis had to say about him, he was a tremendous, tremendous man. Very gifted, very musically gifted, and of course quite qualified and capable in a lot of different areas. And so look at this psalm in verse 1. Truly, God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. Now here's his testimony. He said, but as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh, what's the next word? Slipped. Why? What's your problem there, Asaph? Well, look at verse 3. He said, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. When I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Now, that has made a lot of people stumble through the years, truth be told. There are folks that they serve the Lord and then they think that God should reward them monetarily for serving the Lord. Well, if you just read your Bible, you'll find out that your reward is not here. All right? Your reward is when you get to heaven. So don't get upset with God because things don't go financially for you the way you think they ought to go. But nonetheless, this was something that this has been through the years, something that a lot of folks have looked at, and they have been in a very precarious situation. And Asaph said, man, oh man, my steps just about slipped. I just about fell right here. All right, he got his eyes on the wrong thing, didn't he? All right, now look over, please, at verse 17. And he's going to keep talking about this subject. If you'll look now at verse 17, you'll see how he got the victory over this that was a slippery spot for him. In verse 17, he said, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I therein. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation? As in a moment, they are utterly consumed with terrors. So his point is that this world may be the only joy and happiness that some of these people have. All right, they may not have eternal joys. their eternity may be a place of sorrow and torment and adversity. And so Asaph says that he just about slipped when he saw how they prosper, but then he said he went to the house of God and he prayed about the matter, and the Lord showed him some things, and he realized that this may be the only joy and happiness that some folks will ever know. But he knew, the Lord showed him, that when he gets to heaven, that's when he's going to be receiving his reward. And folks, we need to realize that as well. This world is not our home. We're just passing through. We're strangers and pilgrims down here. And just like Abraham, he walked the length and the breadth and the depth of the land, but looking for a city. He never found that city. He never found it. But he was looking for it, and that's how he lived his life, looking for the city of God. And folks, we are headed towards the city of God. We've learned that on Wednesday nights. That city is going to be our dwelling place one of these days. And so as we look at things around us, as we go through life, let's be careful that we don't allow certain things to cause us to lose our step and fall. All right? So I want to speak to you tonight on this subject. Watch where you're walking. All right, let's pray. Father, help us tonight. I pray that you will allow your word to make a difference in our hearts. And Father, I pray that you will bless each person who is here. Be with the young people that are here. And Father, I ask that your word will make a difference in their hearts tonight. And I pray also for young adults. And Father, I pray for those of us who are up in years. And I just pray that you'll help all of us to see the importance of always being on our guard so that we don't step somewhere where it's a slippery place and we end up losing our step and getting out of fellowship with you. So, Father, bless this message and bless the thought to our hearts, and we'll give you the praise and glory for what you do. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. I think that all of us are aware of just how important it is for us to stay in constant fellowship with the Lord. If, as a Christian, you want power with God, and if you want power in prayer, and if you want to see God answer your prayers, and if you want to see God's blessings and have God's Holy Spirit to guide your steps, then it is so important that we realize we must daily stay in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And I'm telling you, if that's your goal, to stay in fellowship so you can walk with the Lord, you just mark it down. The devil is going to do everything in his power to cause you to slip and to cause you to lose your step and fall and get away from the Lord. Now here in this psalm, Asaph was David's choir director, and Asaph said that he came to a place in his life where he saw the wicked prospering. And then he noticed that the righteous were in poverty. And Asaph goes on to tell us that this was a slippery place for him. He said, wow, man, I almost fell here. I almost got out of fellowship with God. I almost destroyed my blessings and almost backslid on the Lord and just got my eyes off of Him. And he said, I'm trying to do right. I'm trying to serve the Lord. And it seems like all I have is problem and heartache and despair. And over here are the wicked folks, and they're just seemingly going through life with no problems, and they've got plenty of money and plenty of happiness. And here I am trying to serve the Lord, and my life is nothing but a bunch of chaos. And Asaph said, I almost fell right there. That almost caused me to slip. Now, thank the Lord, in verse 17 and 18, Asaph went to the house of God. He went to the sanctuary, and he prayed about this matter, and the Lord showed him there that he was in a very slippery place, and that he was about to stumble, and the Lord rebuked him for it and said, hey, don't let this be a stumbling block for you. Don't let the prosperity of the wicked cause you to slip and fall down. Because if you do, you're going to see just how foolish you are in doing that. Because you see, this world, it might be the only place of happiness these folks have. This just might be it for them. You, however, who know the Lord, you've got all of eternity to look forward to. Man, that's a good thought, isn't it? That's a good thought. Now, I want you to get this point tonight, folks. This was a slippery spot for Asaph. And we come up against those slippery spots all the time as we go through life. Situations where we can easily lose our spiritual balance and where we can fall. Circumstances where we can get tripped up, and when we do, we can get our eyes off of the Lord Jesus. A place where if we're not careful, we're going to fall down. Oh, not fall from grace. All right, please understand that. You're never going to fall from grace. You can't do that. If you're saved, you're saved. Nothing can take you away from the Lord. You are in Christ's hand, and then he has his hand folded with you inside, and then God puts his hand over that, and nothing can separate you from the love of God. Nothing. But I'm not saying you're going to fall from grace. I'm saying that you're going to get your eyes off the Lord, and you're going to fall from the will of God for your life. Because you see, God's will for you is not that look at the world and compare your life to somebody else's. No, listen, God knows what you and I need. Amen. And he gives us what we need. Amen. He gives us what we need. I'm just so thankful for the folks that tithe and give and keep this ministry afloat. Oh, I'm telling you, folks, every time, and I cannot tell you how many times through the years this has happened, but there's been so many times where we would see a need come up, and then all of a sudden here comes an envelope that has a check in it from somebody. Sometimes we don't even know who they are, and they send us what we need. You say, well, that's a neat little coincidence, isn't it? But isn't it a wonderful coincidence?
Amen.
Huh? I mean, if it happened just once in a while, it would be a coincidence. But it happens all the time. And the Lord provides and blesses. So you can't get your eyes over on somebody else and see how they are doing in the world and get envious of them. No, your God has promised to supply all your need in Christ Jesus. So thank the Lord for what he has blessed you with. So where do you find the slippery place? There are many that we are going to find as we go through the Christian life. I was thinking this afternoon as I was just thinking about the message tonight and what I was going to say, and in my mind, I went back to my senior year of college when I got asked politely to go home. I got kicked out of school my senior year, Bible college, Bible major. And I got booted from school. Now, I got kicked out for knowing and not telling. But nonetheless, I got kicked out. I look back on that now, and I realize what a slippery place that was. I could very easily right there have gotten angry, gotten bitter, and then sidetracked. I could have gotten set on the shelf, you know, become a castaway in God's eyes. If I had gotten bitter over what happened you know, a little pity party and why me and all that business, if I had gotten in that shape, I very easily could not have been standing here tonight. So you need to be careful for the slippery places, because you're going to have them. Yeah. And young people, listen to your pastor tonight. You're going to have them. Yeah. And how you handle things when you hit them is something that you need to think about, pray about, and prepare for. Now, I hope you don't ever get on a slippery spot. But chances are you will. So let me help you tonight. let's point out just a couple of things that we probably ought to consider and think about. First of all, I want you to think about your junior high and senior high years. Now, that takes some of you out of the equation. I realize that. But I want all our young people here and the children here to listen carefully. Your junior high years, your high school years. I mean, with all the influences and with all the pressures and all the temptations, I'm telling you, that's a slippery spot that you're in. Young people, I can't imagine what you all have to face today. I remember what we had to face in my day. And I remember the old folks sitting around saying, man, I wouldn't want to be a teenager today. I remember hearing that. I remember hearing everybody talk about how rough it would be to be a teenager in 1967 and 68 when I was a teenager. I remember that well. When I graduated from high school in 1972, I remember them saying, man, I wouldn't want to have to go out and find a career or find a job or today. I mean, let me remind you, you know, as bad as it is now, when I was in high school, Jimmy Carter was the president. Yeah, Jimmy Carter is thankful for Biden. Because it takes him from being the worst president in American history. Amen. And puts Biden in that spot. But now, listen, teenagers, you need to be reminded and reminded often that the same thing that keeps adults in fellowship with God is what keeps you in fellowship with God. Don't forget that. You know, the same thing that keeps adults in fellowship with God is what keeps you in fellowship with God. And what those things are is reading your Bible and learning your Bible and prayer and faithfulness and the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Now listen to me, young people. Listen to me. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Do you dare drag the Holy Spirit into the corner of the hallway to listen to some filthy joke that one of your moron friends is going to tell you? You know, if a few righteous kids would stand up to the morons, the morons would quit being morons. If they found out that they weren't welcome around you, then they would realize, wait a minute, maybe my filthy mind is not acceptable around here. You just might make a point. And I like to see some of our juniors and seniors step up and be the leader in that department. Do you dare drag the Holy Spirit into those activities with your quote-unquote friends and do some of the things that they are encouraging you to do? Well, you better be careful. Your body is the Holy Spirit of the Lord. I mean, you hang around at school with the wrong crowd. Let me tell you something, young people. You're on slippery ground right there. You better be careful. You better be careful. I mean, it's easier for the wrong crowd to pull you down than it is for you to pull them up. And you know that's true. That's why you got no business, girls, dating that unsaved boy. You got no business. You say, well, but Pastor, I love him. Well, love him from a distance. Now, you'll thank me later. Right now, you don't get it, but you will one of these days. One of these days, you'll get it. Love him at a distance. By the way, while I'm here, if mom and dad say that you ought not be dating a certain person, then that ought to be sufficient. If mom and dad say no, that ought to be sufficient for you. We're not trying to to choose your life mate, but if you don't give us veto power, teenager, you're nuts, and you will rue the day, you mark my word. You say, well, I don't like that. Well, I don't like you messing up your life. I don't like you making a decision on slippery ground, and then you end up falling and doing something foolish that is going to destroy the rest of your life. I don't like to see that happen. And I've seen it happen all too many times. I don't know how many times some heartbroken woman has come in my office and sat down and said, Pastor, if only I had listened to my mom and dad. Yep. If only I'd listened to my mom and dad. My mom and dad told me, don't marry that guy. But I wouldn't listen. I wouldn't listen. I tell you, young people, you ought not make a decision about any kind of relationships without consulting with mom and dad. And let mom and dad be your conscience in that area. Young people, you're on slippery ground. You better listen to your parents. You better listen to your youth pastor. You better listen to your pastor. You better listen to your Sunday school teacher. I mean, we've been around the block a little bit. We've got a little bit of experience in this matter, and we know a little bit about choices, and we know a little bit about decisions, especially in this part of your life when the decisions that you are making are mostly emotional decisions. So you better be careful. You're on slippery ground. Read your Bible, study your Bible, pray and learn how to pray and seek the will of God. You'll be 10,000 times more happier as you go through your Christian life if you don't slip in slippery places. Let me give you another one. Let me give you another one. Here's one that is, this is a real slippery slope right here. And that's when the new baby comes. You know, because the tendency is to make an idol out of that baby. It is. It is. You know, I don't know, Mom, if you realize this, but God expects you to bring that baby to church. Our kids went to church 9 months before they were ever born. And then the next Sunday after they were born, they started the church. I mean, it's just the way that we did it. And I'm glad we did it. I mean, I'm glad we did it that way. You know, the normal newborn, now notice I said normal, the normal newborn, and I know that with all the junk that they put in our bodies today, it's hard to tell what's there, truth be told. And a normal newborn is immune from communicable diseases for anywhere from 6 to 8 months. Now, you know what that means? That means that you can bring your baby to church and your baby is going to be fine, especially if you're nursing the baby yourself. I thank God that does that just so we can keep our children in church from the very start of their lives. I think that's what God has in mind. Of course, it's to preserve the life of the child, but I believe with all my heart that God intends for us to bring our children to church as soon as we can. You see, you need to stay in church, and your children need to stay in church. That's the way God has designed it. We are to be in the house of God. We are to be in fellowship with God because we have an obligation before the Lord, and He gives us children, and it's our obligation to raise those children in the fear of God. And that includes bringing them to church. I have known many good couples through the years who got to this slippery place and their feet went out from under them and they got out of fellowship with the Lord. Got out of fellowship. It's Saturday night and little one has an upset stomach. Boy, that's it. Cancel everything. Cancel everything. Man, if we canceled church every time one of the twins had an upset stomach, we never would have been to church. Never would have. It was amazing. But you know, God always works things out, doesn't He? It's amazing how when we just do what we're supposed to do. Then thirdly, here's another slippery spot. And that is when we take our eyes off God and put our eyes on men. Man, that's a dangerous time. That's a dangerous time. I mean, there are so many Christians, especially weak Christians, you know? They haven't been saved all that long. And they haven't grown maybe the way they should. And they're not as strong as somebody else. And then something happens, something said, or something is done. And and the next thing you know, that person's feet has gone out from under them. And boy, they've just crashed to the ground. They're just a mess. Well, let me remind you, folks, that Jesus and the Apostle Paul and the Apostle Peter and James and Luke all of them warned us to be the right kind of an example of a Christian to a lost and dying world, yes, but also to our weaker brethren. All right? It's our responsibility. Why? Well, because one of the devil's biggest tools against believers is to get them to put their eyes on the wrong thing or upon the wrong person, and the next thing you know, they're on a slippery slope, and they've fallen. Now here's a good place to put your eyes, folks. You ready? Put your eyes on the Lord Jesus. Amen. He is never going to fail you. He is never going to fail you. Don't get me wrong, all right? I want you folks to respect me, and I want you to love me. I want you to help me and pray for me. But listen, I don't want anyone here to make me your deity. Don't do it. Don't do it. I remember years ago, I was sitting at a luncheon where there was a pastor's fellowship, and I happened to be one of the speakers in the conference. But most of the guys in that luncheon were seasoned veteran pastors, and there I was, about 36 years old. Well, I just decided I might be at the table, but I was at the table because Dr. Hudson said, come up here and sit at the table. You're one of the speakers. Come up here and sit at the table and take questions. And I thought, well, I'll sit at the table, but I'm not taking any questions. I mean, I felt so inadequate, and it was I was almost embarrassed to be there. Well, I was embarrassed to be there. And so I'm sitting there, and I'm listening. And I'm listening. Sorry. And I'm listening to what's being said. And Dr. Hiles was there, sitting beside of Dr. Hudson. And this preacher stood up, and he said, "My question is for Dr. Hiles." And he said, "Dr. Hiles, you're my hero." And Dr. Howell said, "Whoa, whoa, 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 what'd you just say?" He said, "You're my hero." He said, "Oh, no, son, don't make your heroes out of people that are alive. Make your heroes out of dead people. They can't disappoint you." I've never forgotten that. All right? I cannot tell you, folks, how many of my quote-unquote heroes have disappointed me. I cannot tell you how many. I mean, I wouldn't have time tonight. I could start up in the Northeast and go all the way around the country. But don't you make your heroes out of living people. You make your heroes out of dead people. But you put your eyes only on the Lord. Amen. Only on the Lord, folks. If you're not careful, you'll slip right there. Get your eyes on the Lord Jesus. I am absolutely amazed at the number of Christians who are more loyal to men or to movements or to preachers or to ministries than they are to God. I don't understand that, to be honest with you. Today in America, here's the question. Well, whose camp are you in? You know, whose camp are you in? Well, let's get in the Lord's camp. I like that camp. Let's get in that one. Let's don't worry about what everybody else is doing, and let's just serve the Lord. And you know, the truth of the matter is, in all the years that I have been in the ministry, I have watched my camp change from month to month. And there are so many that were in my camp that believed like I believe 35, 40 years ago, and today they're out in left field somewhere. But man, I can't put my eyes on them and say, well, what's the use to go on? No, I don't. I don't base my relationship on people. You got to look to the Lord. Amen. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. So this is a slippery place, Christian. And what we want to do is be 100% loyal to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you all this. Probably shouldn't. But I'm going to tell you all this. But several years ago, when there was this big division, this is what started all the division in fundamentalism. But the National Sword of the Lord Conference was held at Bob Jones University. And Dr. Hudson was running the sword then. And there was this big... there was this big blow up all across the country about an article that a preacher had written in his magazine, and later found out that he started this magazine because when Dr. Rice died, he didn't get the sword of the Lord. So he started this magazine, and he used it as a platform to attack the brethren. And he wrote an article attacking Jack Hiles. And now, I don't know what the story was on all that. If you know the story, just keep it to yourself. I don't want to know, to be honest with you. And you may know something I don't. Don't tell me, I don't want to know. But Hiles is dead. All right, so be it. But that's not what I'm about to tell you. What happened was, at that sword conference that year, there were all these people who were wearing a button. And that button said, I am 100% Hiles. And that just rubbed me the wrong way. 100% Hiles? Is it seriously? I mean, there is absolutely nothing that you disagree with him on. Nothing. Has he reached sainthood? And he and I were in an airplane together, flying to the sword for a board meeting, right? This was the board meeting where it would be Dr. Hudson's last board meeting, and we all knew it. And he and I were flying together. I was in the window seat, he was in the aisle seat, and nobody sat in the middle. And he had his briefcase sitting there, hoping that nobody would sit in that seat. And they didn't. And so we're flying down. He was reading the USA Today sports page. And I learned that he loved baseball. And he knew all the stats, every batting average. I mean, he studied it. He was worse than Dr. Smith, if you can imagine. And that's bad. All right? And so we're flying down through there, and he slammed that paper shut, looked over at me, and he said, what do you think about all this stuff going on about me? And I said, what stuff? He said, you know, all this stuff is going on. I acted ignorant, and I said, I don't know what you're talking about. He said, you know, all this 100% Heil stuff. And I said, well, that's ridiculous. Well, that was a boo-boo. And he looked at me and he said, what? And I said, it's ridiculous. I'm not 100% Norris Belcher. How could I possibly be 100% Jack Hiles? And he just kind of looked at me and he went, huh. Opened up his paper, and that was it. That was it. Never spoke to me again. It was over right there. We flew all the way from Chicago down to Nashville, got out of the airplane, went and got a rental car, got in the rental car, drove a half an hour down to Murfreesboro, not one word. And I just learned a valuable lesson that day. I'm not going to put my eyes on a man, because that one just broke my heart. That one broke my heart. I went to his pastor's school every year when I didn't have two dimes to rub together. And I would go out there and write down everything he said. I've still got notes in my office on all the lessons and all the messages. Got them all. And man, I mean, he was up here. And all of a sudden, that illusion was shattered. Now, that was a slippery spot. That was a real slippery spot right there. And I got down to the board meeting, and after the board meeting was over, there was some issues there where I saw a side of him come out that I did that just amplified what I had just witnessed. And after it was all over with, I went over to Dr. Hudson, and I knelt down beside his wheelchair where he was so weak he couldn't hardly get around. He was in a wheelchair, so we had to push him around in a wheelchair. And he said, "Norris, how you doing?" And I said, "Doc, I am not doing very well." He said, "Why?" And I told him what happened. He looked at me and he said, "Norris, keep your eyes on Jesus. Don't even go down that road. It's not worth it." And folks, that's what I'm telling you tonight. Keep your eyes on Jesus. It's not going to do you any good to look at me. I can't save you. It's not going to do you any good to look at me. I cannot do anything to enable you to get any richer or any smarter or it. I mean, I can't do anything. I'm just a person, a sinner saved by grace. But I know somebody you can look to. He'll make you smarter. He'll make you wiser. Not only that, he'll take you to heaven. Not only that, he sits at the right hand of the Father and he makes intercession for us. Amen. You can pray to him, talk to him, and he'll listen. Right. You can't pray to me. Do you folks realize how ridiculous it is for these people to go inside that little telephone booth in the church down the road here and put $5 in the basket and tell that man that is behind the curtain? Oh, my soul. They can't help you. But Jesus can. Let me remind you that I can't blow a trumpet and take us all to heaven, but Jesus can. And he's going to. So when our loyalties go from God to a man, you're on slippery ground right there. And you better be careful. Realize what the devil is trying to do to you. Realize the subtlety of his attack. Realize that you are about to hit a slick spot, and you better be careful. You're about to get hurt. Be careful, Christian. Just be careful. Asaph looked around and He said, man, I saw the wicked prospering, and I looked at my own checkbook then, and my anger was kindled on the inside against God. I was blaming God for the wicked prospering. But I went to the house of God. And when I went to the house of God, God showed me that I was wrong. And Asaph came out of there realizing that he was going to keep his eyes on the Lord. He came to his senses, and he was spared the agony of getting out of fellowship with his God. Folks, listen, we've just got to realize that there are a lot of slippery places as we go through life. I don't have time to preach on the rest of these. There's that first fight you have as husband and wife. Slippery ground. Better be careful. Many a couple has not made it through that first fight. You're on slippery spot right there. You better be careful. Then there's when you graduate and make plans for college. Better be careful right there. You see, where you go to school, that's going to shape your mind whether you realize it or not. You're going to go in a classroom and some demon-infested little twerp is going to stand up with a PhD, and he's going to challenge you, and then you're going to stand up and say, no, no, no. And he's going to say, look, you little moron, I've got a PhD. What do you have? And they're going to question your faith. And that means even if you go to some of these quasi-Christian schools, you better be careful. Young people, listen. You've been raised in the Church of the Open Door. You have been taught in Carroll Christian schools. You have been disciplined by mom and dad at home. You better be careful where you go and open your mind to. You better be careful. That's a slippery spot. Here's another one. The day you lose your job. Very slippery slope. Very slippery slope. There's the day that one of your children does something foolish and it just breaks your heart. Very slippery spot. Oh, you better be careful with that one. There's the day you get that promotion and you start making some serious money. Ooh, be careful. Be careful. That's a slippery spot right there. Be careful, mom and dad. Be careful, teenager. Be careful, Christian. The devil, we're told, walketh to and fro, seeking whom he may devour.
That's right.
And you want to make sure he doesn't devour you.
Yep.
Let's pray together. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. No one looking around for just a moment. I wonder how many in here tonight, how many young people in here tonight will say, Pastor, I needed that tonight, and I'm going to remember this. I'm going to remember that there are some slippery places out there. And Pastor, pray for me. I want to make sure that I don't slip and fall and get out of the will of God. So, Pastor, pray for me. Would you slip your hand up and let me see it, young folks all over this building? Amen. Good. God bless you. Hey, that's awesome. God bless you. Thank you. Are there others? Are there others? All right, how many adults here will say, Pastor, I want you to pray for me and my family. Pray for us. We've hit some slippery spots along the way, and I see what I need to do now, so pray for me, Pastor. Would you lift your hand and let's pray together? Yes, God bless all of you. Yes, amen. Amen. Father, now you know our hearts tonight, and I pray that you will speak to our hearts and draw us close to you. There are many, many, many slippery places, and the devil would like nothing more than to get us on top of one of those and just kick the foundation out from under us. So, Father, I pray that you will help us to be strong in the Lord. I pray that you will help us to be wise and to realize those places when we come upon them, and to have the understanding that Asaph had, and he got the victory. And Father, we can get the victory as well. And I want to pray for all these young people who raised their hand tonight. Oh God, I pray that you will lead them and help them to stand, and having done all, to stand. I pray that they'll not slip on slippery ground, but will very carefully just make their way through the trials and difficulties that they face. And Father, I pray for all the moms and dads and the adults and those who raise their hand tonight. Father, you know every heart, you know every need, and I pray that you will help us now to go from here and be able to come up with a plan so that we don't fall, we don't trip, we don't hit that slippery slope. So, Father, bless your word to our hearts now, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.